They're already lined up downtown for your jerseys, and they're selling tickets here like crazy. What does that mean, first of all, to you, and do you get a sense of what your selection means to this city?
It means a lot to me, obviously, getting a lot of support already, but there's work that needs to be done. There's things that need to be done in order to really create that demand. So I'm very excited to be here, very excited to be a part of this organization. I think I speak for both me and Justin whenever, just on the way in, on the ride here, very eager, very excited to get in and really get the ball rolling.
What do you say to people that wonder about your ability to adapt to the NFL? Maybe not look off receivers and freelancers. Is that a concern at all?
Oh, not at all. For me, I'm continuing to get better as a football player, and I didn't go into this process saying I had it all figured out, or I obviously knew there was times where I needed to play with more structure, and I think I'm in a situation now where having Coach Loggins, Coach Shanahan, guys that will help me become a better football player all around.
Basically have the weight of the franchise and the weight of a hopeful fan base on your shoulders. How is your experience playing at College Station and basically living under the microscope for 2 years prepared you to come to Cleveland and take on this responsibility here?
No, I'm used to that. That's been my life for a while now. So for me, the spotlight, expectations, everything that comes along with that, I was used to that at A&M, and I think that directly helps me in what I'm getting into moving forward. And the NFL is in the way that the way the league is and how big of a deal it is. It's bigger than I'm sure I know, but I'll find out. But I think that I've been prepared by the past that'll help me moving forward.
And welcome everyone to the Late Shift. Thanks for staying up late with us, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rodney Fisher, host of The Late Shift. We got a lot to talk about, guys. A lot to talk about. Another stunning finish in Oklahoma City as the Thunder get the win tonight, taking the series lead to 3-2. We'll talk about that. We also talk about what happened to the Indiana Pacers. A chance to close out the series that couldn't get it done. We'll also get into LeBron's historic night that he had last night, as well as talk a little bit about the Spurs and the Blazers, the NBA playoffs. But we're going to spend some time talking about Donald Sterling versus Magic Johnson, and you just heard Johnny Manziel and the NFL draft, so we'll talk about that as well, too. A lot to go right here in the late shift, so let's get started right away. I want to spend time first talking a little bit about what you heard just a few minutes ago with Johnny Manziel. Now, he gets drafted to the Cleveland Browns. During the NFL draft, that was last Thursday, I thought he would be a number one pick, but apparently I was wrong. At least I wasn't the only one wrong about that as well, too. Clowney goes number one to the Houston Texans. Manziel falls all the way down the draft to 22 to the Cleveland Browns, who it wasn't even the Browns' first pick, the number one pick that they had. They took the cornerback first before they took Manziel, but he falls to 22. And I have to be honest with you guys that have listened to the Late Shift or listening to me for so long, you know I was sitting there when the Cowboys picked at 16, and I was ready for Jerry to make the call. Pick Manziel, Jerry. Let's end this Romo era. But in Cowboys fashion, that doesn't happen. You know, I know Romo's your quarterback. I know you paid him a lot of money. I know he's going to be a huge salary cap restriction having him on the team for so long, but this was your chance to get a quarterback that matched your style, the way you like to run in the NFL, that to fill that big Jerry World stadium that you have out there, and to pass him up. I guess it was wishful thinking all the time to have Manziel to come in and end this Romo era. I guess I really want the Romo era to end, but you have to be honest here, you know. And I'm speaking to Cowboy fans out there that are listening. You have to be honest about something, Jerry. That's the fact that Romo is 35 years old, coming off of two back surgeries last year. You don't know what you have in this guy. You don't know how he's going to hold up throughout the entire season. You know, the whole draft for the Cowboys, and I know I'm on the Cowboy rant, so don't call in yet. Don't send me your Twitter hate just yet. But I just want to say, you know, by picking that offensive lineman, Zach Martin, who was a great kid. Zach Martin's a great pickup. But it shows that you have too much confidence in Romo. You know how bad that defense was last year, the worst defense in Cowboys history last year. And yet, even though you don't get Johnny Manziel, you pick an offensive lineman showing that vote of confidence that you really think Romo is the answer. And I want to ask you, the one listening out there, what has Romo done to prove to Jerry Jones that he is the answer for the Cowboys? What has he done? One playoff win? You know, I could go on and on about the Cowboys. You know how I am about that. If you guys want to jump into this conversation, 323-927-2906, or hit me on Twitter at RF Sports Radio or at Rodney Fisher NBA. You know, I got so many things I want to say for the Cowboys, but I'll say that for another show. Let's go back to Manziel. Pick number 22 by the Cleveland Browns. You know what? One of the things that really surprised me about the whole NFL draft was I thought the Houston Texans had a chance to come away with both Manziel and Clowney. You know, they took Clowney number one. Manziel continued to fall. And I was thinking to myself, man, what if Houston trades back in it and gets that quarterback that they need? Because we all know they need a quarterback. We know they need a quarterback. You're talking about a team that had Super Bowl aspirations just a year ago before the debacle they had at quarterback and the injuries that they had to overcome. You had a chance to go back into the first round, make a trade, get Manziel, get Bridgewater, get someone, and yet they did not go back into the first round. They could have walked away with the draft with the top players from the draft. They could have had the best defensive player and arguably the best offensive player, at least with the ball in his hands, in the draft in Johnny Manziel. And I was very surprised that the Texans didn't make that move. I know a lot of people are not talking about that, but you have to. You know, they had a chance to come away with both players, yet they decided not to do that. And, you know, I can't get off the Cowboys thing. I know you guys are sending in your message, but you look at teams like New England Patriots, right? Even though they got Tom Brady, who has done way more than Tony Romo has ever done, and will be a Hall of Famer for sure, they still drafted a quarterback in Garoppolo. What does that tell you, Jerry? Sometimes organizations make the right move, and I thought Bill Belichick said something very eloquent during the press conference for the draft. He said, look, we'd rather be early than late. We'd rather already have a guy ready to go, ready to take over if Brady needs to sit down, right, ready to go. We'd rather be early than late, and I think the Cowboys are banking on being late. Let's go to the other big story from the NFL draft, and it had to be who was picked with the 249th pick.
Michael Sam, the defensive end of the St. Louis Rams, speaking out now about becoming the first openly gay player in the NFL.
It's everyone, and you know, depending on what you want to do with it, I wanted to get it out. I wanted to do some great things, so I played sports. I got better at football. I got better at my grades. I went to college. I was the first person in my family to graduate, and now I'm the first person in my family to go to the NFL. So I'm just keep on fighting. Keep fighting a good fight.
You've overcome a lot of adversity already, but you're facing a lot of tough competition on this team. Will you make the cut?
Will I make the cut? You want to find out in a couple months, huh?
Michael, what is your thought of being the first gay athlete to play in the NFL?
I guess it's great. I don't know what you want me to say. Yeah.
Michael, when the process was unfolding Saturday and you're still sitting there and you haven't been taken by a team, how are you rationalizing or explaining things to yourself as you're waiting there? Or did you even go there?
I was just, you know, praying and had faith in God, and then I believed in my talents, and Mr. Kroenke and Coach Fisher and Mr. Seed, they all believed in my talents, and here I am.
Michael, have you had a one-on-one conversation with your father?
No, I have not had a one-on-one conversation with my father.
Michael.
I remember when he came from Detroit. He came to my house. You know, he was a great player, great player. But what I'd like to know exactly what he's, what does he do? He works with the Dodgers.
Well,
do you know what I do?
Movie theaters.
I spend millions on giving away and helping minorities. Does he do that? That's one problem I have. Jews, when they get successful, they will help their people. And some of the African Americans, maybe I'll get in trouble again, they don't want to help anybody. What has Magic Johnson really done for Children's Hospital? Which kids are lying in the hallways. They're sick. They need a bed.
This larger idea that he has that African Americans somehow don't help other African Americans.
You know, it's disturbing. It's sad. It's, he didn't do his homework. Tyler Perry called me right after the interview. He was so upset. Spike Lee called me. I mean, look, we help each other, you know, and we, and what we try to do is band together to see how we can better our community. We also give the information. Because I'm successful, Tyler is successful, on and on and on, we go back and educate the others on how they can become successful. So it's not about just giving them money. It's also about giving them the tools so that they can be successful in the African-American community. We work very well together. Reverend Sharpton, you have different people who always work together to make it better for the others, and that's what we do. And so it's a shame that he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not. He didn't educate himself before he actually came on and talked to you.
Is this the Donald Sterling you know? I mean, you only have talked to him a couple times. You only hung out with him a couple times. But, you know, his wife is indicated in an interview with Barb Walters that perhaps he has sort of early onset dementia. Does this seem like the Donald Sterling you've talked to in the past, obviously without him saying these things about you to your face?
I don't know this, Donald. You know, we had basketball conversations. We never had life conversations. I knew about the lawsuits and the things that happened before. I didn't know that he would take it to this level.
And there was Magic Johnson with Anderson Cooper tonight, kind of giving his reaction to the interview and Sterling's rant on Magic Johnson about how he doesn't do anything. And I thought Magic handled that very, very well, because if you watch the interview, you could tell that Magic wanted to say, "You dumb MF." Of course, he's not going to say that. He's got too much class for that, but you'll leave it up to us to say that for him. But, you know, this guy here, to me, this game is not just Donald Sterling the black eye and Shirley Sterling the black eye, but the NBA as a whole. You know, to know that you've had this guy around your league for 30-plus years, and now he's saying these things and people are putting a camera on him and a tape recorder on him, and you're hearing how he really feels about black people, racism, trying to compare Jews against blacks and things of that nature. You've had this guy in your league for 30-plus years. You've seen the court documents. You know what he's been accused of. You know what lawsuits he's fought in court. And yet you've let this guy go on and on in the league. You know, I commend Adam Silver for what he's done, but why has he not been removed yet? What takes so long to take a guy like this, a jackass like this, to get him out of the league? What takes so long to get that done? How come the owners have not voted on getting this guy out of the league yet? Those are the questions that everyone needs to start asking, not focusing on this crazy man and his crazy antics and the crazy words that he says, but focus on why the NBA has not done anything about a guy like this. You know, he has this whole, "I'm an owner, you a player, I'm the master, you the slave" kind of mentality that we in the South know way too well, way too well. He seems to think that by giving someone a contract or having them play basketball for millions of dollars is helping out minorities. And for someone to feel that way is a huge, huge problem. I'm imploring the NBA. You have got to make a decision to get this guy out of here as quick as possible. I mean, as quick as possible. It should have been done already. You know how this guy operates and how he thinks. So it makes you wonder, how do some of the other players operate and how they think? You go back in history, you look at some of what some of the owners said. You look at a guy like Dan Gilbert and how he blasted LeBron for making the decision, a decision that any grown man can make and go to any team he wants to go to. It's a mentality that's got to be stopped, and it's got to be stopped right now. You cannot have this in a league like the NBA that's 80% black. You can't do it. I don't know why they haven't made a decision yet. And David Stern, you know, you've done some great things with the game, bringing the game out there. But as disciplinary as you have been with the players and you allow this guy to stay in the league for this long, that is a big problem. Let's take a break and come back and wrap it up with the NBA.
Calling all sports fans, there's only one place to go to get all your sports news, information, radio shows, sports talk, anything that you want to do, that's RFSN, the Real Fan Sports Network. Log on to realfansportsnetwork.com to hear shows from across the country. And of course, make sure you can hear this show on the Real Fan Sports Network. Go to TuneIn Radio on the TuneIn Radio app and search for RFSN to get sports talk 24/7 from a fan's perspective. That's the Real Fan Sports Network, realfansportsnetwork.com.
And welcome back, everyone, to The Late Shift. Again, you can download The Late Shift on iTunes. Very simple to do. Go to iTunes, look up The Late Shift, download, subscribe to our podcast. Also, listen to The Late Shift live on the Real Fan Sports Network. And throughout the day, that's Real Fan Sports Network at rfsportsradio.com. Let's jump back into the NBA. Something I love to talk about, as you guys know, is I've gotten off of my high horse in terms of rants as it goes these days. Now, in the playoffs, you know, tonight we had two critical games, I believe. You know, the biggest critical game to me was the Pacers and the Wizards game. Indiana at home tonight and cannot get it done against the Indiana Pacers. And, I mean, I'm sorry, Indiana cannot get it done against the Washington Wizards tonight. You know, this game was going to say a lot to me. If you're the Indiana Pacers, you worked yourself your butt off to get the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, and yet you've been terrible at home, absolutely terrible at home. You allowed Marcin Gortat, and you know, Gortat tonight had 31 points and 16 rebounds. John Wall, who's had a pretty bad series up until this point, had 27 points tonight. And they beat the Pacers 102-79. You know, if you're the Pacers, you have got to put your foot on their proverbial neck right now and win this series. You've got to have that dog in you that says, hey, we're going to win this series. They had a franchise low 63 points in Game 3, and yet come out and blow a 19-point lead in the second half in Game 4, and the Wizards come back and win this game. They come back and win this game. You know, I was shocked. I thought for sure that the Pacers would show up for this game, especially being at home. And even if they get past the series, ladies and gentlemen, they're still up 3-2. They get past the series. Do you think a team like Miami is not going to take advantage of them having four home games in the series? Do you think they're not going to take it to them? They've got a lot to do. You look at the stat line for the Indiana Pacers. David West, 17 points. Paul George, 15 points. Roy Hibbert, 4. George Hill, 3. Lance Stephenson, 9. You know, Roy Hibbert with 4 points. You know, you're 2-for-7 for the field. Hibbert only had 2 rebounds. 2 rebounds and 4 points. How does that even happen? How does that even happen? If you're the Pacers, man, if you're Frank Vogel, you got to figure something out. You got to do something. Larry Bird's got to come in the locker room and have a pep talk. He's got to slam some chairs, throw some stuff around. But how do you allow that to happen? In the other game tonight, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they get the win tonight. They came from behind. And I watched the first part of this game, and you would have never thought the Clippers would have lost this game the way they were playing. They were playing well. They were shooting the ball very well. Durant had his worst playoff performance of his career. At one point, he was 3-for-17. He finished, I believe, 6-for-22 tonight. But again, the Thunder fought back and get the win at the very last seconds after Russell Westbrook makes three free throws to put them ahead 105-104 on a foul on Chris Paul. And I got to be honest with you guys. I watched this game and I watched how Durant was struggling this game. You know, the Thunder need Russell Westbrook. I'm sorry. You know, a lot of people talk about they can't play together. A lot of people talk about he takes the ball away from Kevin Durant. But they need Russell Westbrook. He had 38 points tonight, made the three free throws with 6.4 seconds left for Manning to go ahead and give them the win. And that foul that he took on Chris Paul was shooting a three-pointer. Chris Paul fouls him. And that's it. You know, Chris Paul had the turnover at the end and had a chance to go for a win, but Reggie Jackson stole the ball from him, and time was expired from that point. But, you know, I have to admit that I was critical of Westbrook, but 38 points tonight and saving the Thunder from going down 3-2 in that series. Now I go back to L.A., where if you're a Clipper with all the stuff going on with Donald Sterling and everything else, how could you focus on basketball? How could you even do it? So commendable for them, but I think the Thunder's going to finally win this series and move on to play who I think two teams that are not playing any games with anybody. They're going to close out their series, and it's the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs. Now, Miami, last night, you know, LeBron's performance, a historic performance for him in last night's game, and he was unstoppable. You know, he basically just took over everything by himself. You know, I went to the end of the third quarter. He was the only Miami Heat player, only Miami Heat player that had taken a foul shot. I mean, that's amazing to me that he's the only Miami Heat player up until that third quarter that took a foul shot. I mean, he basically just took over the game. He'll have a chance to do that again in Miami, but for them to win another title, he's got to get some help from his surrounding cast. They got to play a lot better. The Spurs will go home 3-1 over the Blazers, and they'll finish out their series as well, too. And I don't know about you guys, but it really feels like we're going to have another matchup between the Heat and the Spurs again. So I'll see you guys not tomorrow night, but I'll see you on Thursday night for another edition of The Late Shift. For myself, Rodney Fisher, and everyone at RF Sports Radio, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you Thursday night.
Calling all sports fans, there's only one place to go to get all your sports news, information, radio shows, sports talk, anything that you want to do, that's RFSN, the Real Fan Sports Network. Log on to realfansportsnetwork.com to hear shows from across the country. And, of course, make sure you can hear this show on the Real Fan Sports Network. Go to TuneIn Radio on the TuneIn Radio app and search for RFSN to get sports talk 24/7 from a fan's perspective. That's the Real Fan Sports Network, realfansportsnetwork.com.